It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Stoke, I've been thinking a lot about one particular player on the Denver Broncos. And after thinking about it a lot for a couple weeks now, I believe that if this player is healthy and the Broncos do not find a way to get him onto the football field, I think it'll be an organizational failure. And I mean that. And the player that I'm talking about is Carlos.
I got you nervous.
I got you nervous?
That's why I didn't even push my on button again. Really nervous.
That player, Stoke, is Carlos Henderson. And here's why.
Wow.
We have to remember why I was so excited when he came out of La Tech. We're talking about one of the five best, just thoroughbred, raw athletes on the Denver Broncos roster. We also have to remember how dynamic of a player he was. This dude was over 1,500 receiving yards his junior season. To put it in perspective, that's about 200 yards less than Courtland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton's junior years combined. Okay?
Wow.
This guy, Carlos Henderson, had more touchdowns in his junior season than Deshaun Hamilton had in his career. Carlos Henderson was the Offensive Player of the Year and the Special Teams Player of the Year in Conference USA in the same season. They invested a third-round draft pick in him. And for whatever reason, he could not get up to speed. We talked to him in training camp. He was swimming in the playbook. He didn't have a great football acumen, football IQ. But I was thinking back to a conversation that you and I had with Rams general manager Les Snead at the Senior Bowl. And when we came back from that, we talked about how Les Snead was talking about the plan for your quarterback, the plan for your coach, the plan for your organization. But what we never hit on is the plan for a specific player. Listen to Les Snead here.
So I think what it does is you do now have to have a really defined plan and patience to go, all right, if we take this kid who's a little bit farther behind, maybe because of the style of play, how are we going to get that guy, you know, ready to go on Sundays as soon as possible because you don't have a lot of time.
You have to have a plan for that particular player. You have to have patience with that particular player, especially when he's coming from a different style of play. It's almost like he created this quote for Carlos Henderson.
Yeah.
Who was part of this air raid offense at La Tech. Very simplistic route trees. But he used two P words. A plan and patience. Here we are a year after he's been drafted to talk about him being a potential camp cut. This guy is a dynamic athlete. And the Broncos have invested in him. They have to find a way for him to work in one way or another.
Well, a lot of that goes on coaching. A lot of that says, okay, coach, here you go. Now you have to figure out how to a way to get the best out of Carlos Henderson. And that goes to your receiver coach. That goes with your offensive coordinator. And that goes a little bit to your head coach. And you heard Vance call out Carlos Henderson at the end of minicamp there.
He did.
Because he had a little issue going on. They're getting fed up with him. My question would be, I'm with you. Because you can't just all of a sudden just say, you know what, this guy's not getting it, let's move on. He's a third-round pick.
I mean, just last year.
You got to do everything in your power to get the most out of this guy. Yeah, he wasn't a third-round pick 4 years ago or 3 years ago. He was a third-round pick 2 years ago. So, but my question is, when's enough enough? When do you look at him and just say, you know what? We got to cut bait. You know, we talked about it, and we talked about the Roberto Aguaye, the kicker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who got cut last year, and they drafted him in the second round. Was that right?
Second round? Yep, second round draft pick. Yep.
They moved up, I think, to draft him.
Yep.
But they finally just said, enough's enough. We can't keep going down this road. This kid is costing us. We have to move on from that mistake. So when do you come to that conclusion? I think every situation's different. And you look at a guy like Carlos Henderson, he needs to get things figured out. He needs to realize this is the NFL. You got to be a grown man. You got to handle your responsibilities. You got to know the playbook. You have to be on the field. You have to be available. You can't be injured. And when you get opportunities, you have to take advantage of it. Because this train doesn't stop moving. What happened this year? Well, we drafted two more receivers. So I think it's one of those situations. I'm with you. I mean, it would be best case for the Broncos to have Carlos Henderson working out for him and going out there making plays for him. But at the same time, I don't want to keep paying for this mistake over and over and over again.
And you may get to a point where that's the conclusion you reach. But if it's not purely injury related, and it is about some of his just deficiencies and his mental makeup, because, you know, we talked about it. The reports about him is he just doesn't have a high football IQ. You saw him get in trouble, of course, this past year when he's, you know, eating weed and things like that. Here's the other side of that coin in terms of what I believe will be an organizational failure if Carlos Henderson doesn't play for the Broncos and you invested a third-round pick in him. If he is just so behind mentally and he just doesn't get it, and he is a bad character guy, he's getting in trouble, he is not responsible, you can't rely on him, then it's the same failure, just of a different speed and a different kind, that if you invest a third-round pick, the draft is the lifeblood of your organization, and you had some bad ones leading up to last year. If you invested in a third-round kid that you weren't exactly sure who he was, it's just a failure of a different brand.
And it's a failure of the draft process and your evaluation process, and you never should have drafted him in the first place.
Right.
If he is that type of player. And you realize that, and I think the earlier you do that, if he turns out to be that player, the better off you are, just like Tampa Bay. They finally decided to cut him. Well, you know what? Here, you have a couple good backup options. When you look at Sutton and Hamilton, the rookies that you drafted, those guys look the part, and they are everything that you want, not only on the football field, but off the football field. High IQ, high football intelligence, right? They're getting opportunities right away, and they're taking advantage of those opportunities. So it's a situation where Carlos Henderson's got to get it figured out. Yeah, the Broncos have to do their fair share to try to put him in the best possible situations to be successful. But at some point, it's on the player, man. You have got to get it figured out, and you got to realize that this thing is going to keep moving. Either you jump on it and figure it out, or you know what? You get left behind. And some guys never figure it out, unfortunately. No matter what teams do for him, it's just one of those things where they just never get it. And hopefully that's not the case here. Hopefully we see a guy that's healthy in training camp, because I liked what I saw early in mini camps and the OTAs from Carlos Henderson, but it just kind of sputtered out.
Yeah.
And he didn't get a lot of opportunities. Some of the younger guys were jumping over him, and then he got hurt. And Vance called him out.
I mean, if you the one word that you have used over and over again to describe what the Broncos offense needs more of, it's explosive plays. Carlos Henderson, if he's healthy, I think we got to find, and he's up to speed, even relatively to a degree. Man, he's what he can be is enticing. And
a difference maker.
He is a difference maker. He is. He's a thoroughbred. What is the national sentiment surrounding the Denver Broncos? I got an audio clip I want you to hear when we come back. What is the national sentiment on the Denver Broncos? There's a audio clip that has sort of made the rounds here in the last 24 hours or so. This is FS1's Colin Cowherd breaking down the Denver Broncos.
Next up, Denver Broncos. They haven't had back-to-back losing seasons since the early 70s. I've always said this is the Pittsburgh Steelers with a mountain range. They're very well run. They're very smartly owned. They do have something that nobody else in the league can say outside of maybe the Chargers and Eagles. They have two great pass rushers, Von Miller and now Bradley Chubb. I would not want to be Derek Carr, Phillip Rivers, or Patrick Mahomes over the next 5 years. But offensive line, bottom third of the league, 19th it was rated. Running backs, meh. C.J. Anderson left. Quarterbacks, Case Keenum. Take out the one great year when he had everything go his way in Minnesota, and his passer rating is 78 and 9-15.
A little bit of a negative tone for a couple different reasons. One, he did say they have two great pass rushers. Maybe only the Chargers have two like the Broncos do. But he said offensive line, bottom third of the league. He quoted Pro Football's Focus ranking of the O-line at 19. He said the running backs were meh now that C.J. Anderson has moved on. He said that Case Keenum, besides the 1 year, 78% passer rating. Anything unfair there?
I look at it and I can't really argue with some of the things that he said. That was, you know, a lot of those things that he said were just facts, right? I mean, they're facts. They are what they are.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think a lot of them are going to improve. Yeah, he's right. CJ Anderson left, meh. I mean, okay, I got you. Look, there's not a lot I can say about Royce Freeman and D'Angelo Henderson and Booker. I mean, I can hope and I can think and I can project and I think it will be a better group, but it might not be. This offensive line hasn't been good enough. I thought it got better last year, and I think it will continue to get better. So I look at some of these things, and Case Keenum, look, yeah, he's right. Only one good year. Got it. I got it, but I think he'll have another good year. So he's right in his evaluation, but I think when you project forward is where I say, okay, I think a lot of these things are going to prove and get a lot better this year.
This is Colin Cowherd on Case Keenum and Vance Joseph.
Yeah, everything in Minnesota was great. They had the right coach, the right coordinator, the right receivers, the right running back, the right defense. Aaron Rodgers didn't play last year for most of the season against the Vikings. But when I look at Case Keenum, he's going to come back to life, have less of a receiving core, less of a running core. You know, Vance Joseph, do we know if he's a good coach in Denver? I don't. I mean, I thought last year there was a bunch of rumors Elway was going to get rid of him. That's not good.
Well, they weren't rumors. John said it himself. He said he had to sleep on it, whether to retain him or not. Anything that you would take umbrage to there?
Yeah, I mean, the end. I think Minnesota did have a lot of good pieces around Case Keenum. But I think the Broncos will have a lot of good pieces around Case Keenum. I think Emmanuel and DT will have really good years. I think this offensive line will be a lot better. And I think Case Keenum will make other pieces around him better. So these tight ends, you know, Jake Butt, I think Case Keenum will help him along. I think these running backs, this running game will be better because of the passing game and Case Keenum. I think Case Keenum takes a step forward. And see that, so that's kind of where I disagree with him. I think that Case Keenum is getting to the point now where he's more of the strength of when you talk about your offense. Well, this player is better because of Case Keenum.
Right.
That player is better because of Case Keenum. This offensive line is better because of Case Keenum. This running game is better because of our passing game and Case Keenum. Okay, where, you know, Colin Cowherd looked at Case Keenum and said, well, he was a product of that Minnesota offense and those receivers. I think Case Keenum, now that he's comfortable and knows he can play and confident, he is going to be one of the strengths of this offense, and he is a reason why this offense will be a lot better, and some of these players will be better.
Yeah, I don't know why it is only looked at, especially from a national perspective, why it's only looked at that Case was the beneficiary. Why is that the only story being told? Not like, hey, Stephon Diggs had the best year of his career because Case Keenum was the quarterback. Not like Rudolph had another terrific season because Case Keenum is so above average at the middle of the field stuff. You know, why isn't that Adam Thielen is now a premier top tier receiver, best season ever under Case Keenum? It's always the other way around.
Because Case has only played one good year. That's why. Well, you look at the product, you look at his career, his whole career, and it's, well, why is it taking him this long to have one good season? Oh, I can tell you why. Because look at all these other great pieces. He can't be that good. It doesn't take quarterbacks this long to be that good. He wasn't even drafted. There's got to be something wrong with him.
Right.
It's all these other pieces around him is why he had a good year.
I don't know why we just don't do the same thing with Stephon Diggs.
Well, hey, Stephon Diggs had a good year the year before.
But he had twice as many touchdowns as Case Keenum as his quarterback. More than twice. More than twice.
But it wasn't only one year for him.
It wasn't
so
only
that's
one
why,
year.
Yep.
No,
that's
you're right.
Why with Stephon Diggs, you look at a guy like Adam Thielen. I mean, you didn't know who he was before last year.
Nope. Not really. And that guy was almost 1,300 yards.
That guy's a good football player. I watched film on him. Not film, but they had a highlight of his route running on Twitter.
I saw that.
Yeah, and I was like, wow. Because I didn't pay that much attention to him. I mean, obviously he had a great year, but I didn't watch in detail Adam Thielen. And then on that little highlight video, which is, of course, all of his best of the best. But at the same time, you can tell. like, oh, wow, this guy is a really good route runner. He really is a good route runner. He's going to be fun to watch this year, too.
He's going to be around for a while.
Yeah, he
Adam
is.
Adam Thielen.
Good football player.
You know what? A lot of that Collins.
They got something there. They got something there. Oh, my goodness.
There's no question.
They got something there. I'm telling you. Wow.
Super Bowl expectations, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's got to be Super Bowl or bust.
I mean, you look at the NFC and you look at their top four or five teams. How about that? Minnesota, Philly, the Rams,
Packers.
1 second.
All right.
Hold your horses.
Giants,
Falcons. If Steve Sarkisian can figure things out, Saints. Don't forget the Saints.
49ers?
Not yet.
On the peripheral, right?
Not yet.
Here's
maybe the Packers. Yeah, you got Aaron Rodgers, you always got a chance. So throw them in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, you're talking about really good teams.
Yeah, there's no question. Stoke, ESPN named their all under 25 team. Which Bronco made the list? We'll get to it next. Pretty cool exercise that ESPN did this past week. They went through the league and picked their best under 25 starting lineup. And they gave you a pick or two and a runner-up. Before I let you know if a Bronco was on the list, you want to just fly through and I just say, hey, you know, best quarterback under the 25, and you just tell me what you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's start there. Quarterback under 25, who would you take?
Carson Wentz.
They have Deshaun Watson and Jared Goff as the runner-up.
Oh, they have Carson as one?
No, they have Deshaun Watson as one.
Oh, and Jared Goff is runner-up. How old is Carson Wentz?
You know what?
If he's not either one of those, I mean, I like both of those guys.
He is 25.
So he's not under 25.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, then take exception. I like both of those guys. Deshaun, Jared Goff, perfect.
What about a running back under the age of 25?
Well, Kareem Hunt, with what he did last year, how old is Todd Gurley?
That's a good one. Todd Gurley's under 25.
Okay, well, then he would be the top of the list.
He's the one they chose. They went Todd Gurley, Saquon Barkley, with Ezekiel Elliott as their runner-up.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
Wide receivers. Anyone that comes to mind? And this is tough because you're not looking at ages
right.
Next to names.
Thank you. Give it to me.
Stephon Diggs. He's only 24 years old.
Wow.
Along with Tyreek Hill.
Is he going into his fourth year?
Diggs is, yeah. He's going into year four. And Tyreek Hill was their second selection. The runner-up was Juju Smith-Schuster.
Okay.
I'll just give him to you. Tight end, they put Evan Ingram with a runner-up Hunter Henry. Offensive tackle, they put Jack Conklin and Ryan Ramczyk. Sort of a pill that hurts when I swallow.
Yeah, I know. We'll see.
Guards, they put Quentin Nelson. With Will Hernandez as a runner-up. How's that pill?
Woo. We haven't even seen those guys play.
Pass rushers, they put Joey Bosa and Myles Garrett, along with T.J. Watt. Bradley Chubb left off the list. Reuben Foster was on with the linebackers, Miles Jack. And it goes on, and they go through, you know, position by position. Landon Collins for a safety, Jalen Ramsey for a cornerback. And they go through position by position. I mean, down to kickers and punters, safeties, corners, you know, every phase in football. Not one Denver Bronco was represented. Okay? And this reminds me of a conversation that I had with Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports last week when he filled in for you when you were in Indianapolis. And I asked him what his biggest takeaway when doing a season preview for the Broncos. And I was a little bit surprised that his number one takeaway is there's no proven player under the age of 29 on the Denver Broncos outside of maybe Justin Simmons, if you want to call him proven.
Yeah, that's scary. You know, when you continually miss on a lot of your draft picks, this is the situation you're in where you don't have a lot of young talent that you can look forward to and say, man, I can't wait to watch this guy for the next 5 years. And the Broncos right now are kind of in that situation. Now, things like we talked about earlier can change very, very quickly. You can look at that last year's draft class, and I can give you three or four guys on there that all of a sudden could be give you a lot of hope for the future.
From last year's class.
From last year's, 2017's class.
Who comes to mind?
Well, Garrett Bowles, but he's already, he's over 25 already, I think.
Yeah, I think before he took his first snap.
Right.
But yeah.
But still a young football player
yeah.
that you could be excited about for the next 5-6 years.
Yeah. He's 26 right now.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not worried about that, but because he's still a player that I think is going to get better and you can be excited about for a long, long time. Isaiah McKenzie might end up being a guy. We don't know. Look, this guy it looks like a different guy. We'll see how he looks in training camp. DeMarcus Walker, D'Angelo Henderson, you know, Royce Freeman. I mean, I can give you some guys from this year's class. Royce Freeman, all these guys
yeah.
in this year's class.
Yeah.
How about Brendan Langley from last year's class? We don't know. You know, we don't talk about him because we talk about Chris Harris. We want to really see Bradley Roby this year. He's going to be starting. And then we're talking about Isaac Yiadom, you know, this year's draft, drafted cornerback. But we don't talk about last year's drafted cornerback. We just kind of forgot about Brendan Langley. So we could be sitting in a totally different situation next year. I mean, we really need to. Broncos need to hit on a draft class and in a big way.
But you're right. This is why there's no names listed on it. It's because of the misses. You know, this is the time. This is the time that you would hope that, you know, a guy like Devontae Booker would be on the list.
Yes.
You know, 23-year-old, exciting back. You know, you would want a guy like Adam Gotsis, second-round pick, to be on the.
Got another one.
Who do you got?
Connor McGovern. Somebody like that.
Sure. Sure. And honestly, you know, a guy like Paxton. You know, I hate to go there, but
I don't think you do.
He's just like, but
that would be nice to have him on the list. Yes.
You know who would be another one? Jeff Hierman, third round draft
another
pick
one.
At a position of need. You know, but because of, you know, what you said, you miss repeatedly, you're going to have a team that is top-heavy in terms of age. The Broncos are one of the older teams in the National Football League, believe it or not. All these guys are young guys in the scheme of life, but it's an older team. And I wonder if, you know, typically on winning teams that win big, there's one or two young players that pop. That are able to
yep.
play a starting role, whether it's their first year, second year, third year, but within their first 3 years are able to contribute on a pretty big scale for a winning team. And the Broncos, because of all the, you know, things we named, they're just not in that position unless it's a sleeper from last year's class or one of these guys from this year's class.
I'm really holding out hope still with last year's class. I think Bowles, you know, we'll progress and we'll get better. And, you know, he started, I think, every game last year. Didn't miss a game.
Correct.
But I think some of the other guys will step up. And really, you look at a guy like DeMarcus Walker and Isaiah McKenzie, possibly a D'Angelo Henderson also, as being guys, candidates, to really have a breakout year this year and make a big impact this year. I mean, DeMarcus Walker is a guy that can flat out get after the quarterback, and you put him on this defense when his strength is getting to the quarterback, and you put him around all this greatness, Bradley Chubb, Shaq Barrett, Von Miller, Shane Ray, Wolf, list goes on and on and on. I mean, he is getting one-on-one matchups every time.
Well, I'll tell you what, if that scenario that you just sort of, you know, with a light brush painted, that Bowles takes a step forward, DeMarcus Walker can contribute, Isaiah McKenzie is a contributor, and you have something, D'Angelo Henderson, it may go from the healthy scratch draft to the best draft that John Elway's had. If you draft your franchise left tackle, and you can get a running back that contributes, and you know what, there's we forgot about Jake Butt. If Jake Butt
forgot about him.
I mean, if Jake Butt turns out to be your starting tight end and Garrett Bowles is, in fact, your franchise left tackle, that draft now gets an A. I don't care what happens to even, and not that I would hope this, but I don't even have to care what happens to Isaiah McKenzie or D'Angelo Henderson or Brandon Langley or Carlos Henderson. If Garrett Bowles works out, DeMarcus Walker's a pass rusher, and Jake Butt's your starting tight end, well, that might be the best draft that John always had.
And it could change quickly. Right now, you're looking at that class, and we're really down on it. But it can change really, really quickly. Let's not, you know, predetermine this rookie class from 2017 and say, oh, you know, maybe we're just going to get something from, Garrett Bowles, and that's probably going to be it. DeMarcus Walker's a bust. Isaiah McKenzie can't hold on the ball. Jake Butt, nah, you know, we'll see. We can hold out hope on him, but let's wait and see here. This thing could flip really quickly to being, you know, man, that draft was not very good. Healthy scratch draft class, as you called it during the season, to a draft class that said, wow, like you said, we got our left tackle, we got a really good defensive tackle, and we got a very good running back, and possibly a tight end. Change quickly.
There's no question about it. Wow, what a story. I had no idea, Stoke, that one of the NFL's most revolutionary quarterbacks and most exciting quarterbacks ever almost came here to Denver. It's true. We'll give you the details next. What an interesting story that I read earlier today about one of the NFL's most revolutionary quarterbacks. One of the most exciting quarterbacks ever to play the game of football nearly came to Denver. This is coming from the Undefeated website. And the quarterback I'm talking about is Michael Vick. And I'm not talking about coming here and playing for the Broncos. I'm talking about him playing for the Colorado Rockies.
I didn't realize that. Never knew that.
The Rockies selected Michael Vick with the 887th overall pick in the 2000 draft, Stoke.
God, what round was that? Like round 500? I mean, goodness gracious.
Well, you get some quality there.
Holy
baseball.
Cow.
And here's the
887th overall pick?
That was just
Holy cow.
That was just eight slots after Ian Kinsler, a four-time All-Star, was picked. And it was seven spots after future Golden Glove and Silver Slug winner Adam LaRoche was picked. So real value there in the 800s. And that's like an actual statement. I can't miss too much football, Vic said the day he was drafted. But I might talk to the Rockies. You never know. End quote. 10 days after the draft, Vic and his mother agreed to meet with the Rockies in Newport News. Newport News, VA. They welcomed Rockies executives into their family's three-bedroom apartment. Vic could have played summer ball in the minors for the Rockies and still maintained his college football eligibility. Okay? Colorado even had a Class A affiliate 30 miles from Blacksburg, which is where Virginia Tech's campus is. Quote, I was about to take that money. This is from Mike Vic. Quote, I was about to take that money. I grew up from nothing. We didn't have anything. And my family was still living in the hood. College was a struggle, and I was far removed from baseball, but the Rockies came at me, end quote. After his meeting with the Rocks, 4 days passed before Vic came to a final decision, eventually, obviously, as we know, sticking with football for his career, for the remainder of his career at Virginia Tech.
Wow.
But really interesting
story. What a cool story. Never realized the Rockies drafted him. Never realized that he was that close to signing a contract with them. And participating in a ball or whatever it might be. Very interesting.
So I was about to take that money. Grew up from nothing. We didn't have anything. We were still living in the hood. College was a struggle, and I was far removed from baseball, but the Rockies came at me. What if he said yes?
It makes it, you know, makes you think about it a little bit. Would he ever turn out to be anything? I think he made the right choice. He made it in football.
He did.
And had a really successful career. Had a big bump in the road there.
Big old bump.
But I think he made the right choice when you look at his career. But what could he have been in baseball? What was he, an outfielder? I'm sure he was probably an outfielder.
Probably so. Covers a lot of ground. Probably ran the bases like,
That'd be fun to watch him. Some highlights of him playing baseball in high school, seeing what kind of player he was.
Now, I think I know. I just don't want you to laugh at me when I ask this question,
goodness.
Okay? And I already know your answer, but I want to ask it anyway, because when we talk about criteria for the Hall of Fame, you and I talk about maybe revolutionizing a position,
right,
having incredible moments, and there was a brief period in time where there was no football player that was more exciting than Michael Vick.
You're right.
And no quarterback in the history of pro football has ran for more yards than Michael Vick's 6,109. To put it in perspective, Cam Newton, who is just unbelievable running the football, he's ran for just over 4,000. Mike Vick's is 6,109. That's above Randall Cunningham. That's above Steve Young. That is number one all time. So I ask you.
That was a really good football player.
Is Mike Fick a Hall of Famer?
Guy was a really, really, like you said, I mean, he was somebody that nobody had ever seen before playing that position. Can throw the ball with the flick of the wrist,
mm-hmm.
you know, oh, just 70 goodness. Yards, just like effortlessly. Try that again. Nope, can't do it. I'm just going to stick with the first one. Never mind.
Effortlessly.
There we go.
That's good.
Effortlessly.
You
can't do it. I can't do it. I'm done. But he could just sling it down there with ease. How about that?
Yeah.
And then with his feet, I just remember that. I think it was overtime when he scrambled. I think it was against the Vikings, and he just
took off. I remember.
And guys were just diving at him, and he was running, making guys look like they, you know, he was playing with middle schoolers. I mean, it was just unbelievable the talent that he had and the things that he was able to do on the football field. Now his career got cut short, came back, and still had some productive years.
After he came back out of jail, this is almost like the Mike Tyson story. Came out of jail and was the comeback player of the year.
Ended up signing like another $100 million contract, getting paid by the Eagles, and really resurrected himself from in jail to being an afterthought, just trying to get a job, to all of a sudden being a really good quarterback again. Is he a Hall of Famer? I say probably not.
Probably not, right?
Probably not.
But that 2010 season when he came out of jail, he was phenomenal. And he was it was like the same old thing. Here's the spinoff question. If Mike Vick never organizes a dog fighting ring and never goes to jail, does he end up in the Hall of Fame eventually, do you believe?
I do.
I think so too.
How many years was he out of football? Two?
He was out of two full seasons. Yeah, two full seasons.
I think he is, because I think he continues to produce. And you saw the 1 year when he came back with Philly, how good he was. Well, just imagine if he wasn't gone.
Man.
What he would have been. And so I do. I think if he would not have got in trouble and done the things that he did and gone to jail, he would have been a Hall of Famer.
It's really interesting. It is really interesting. And now, did the Rockies draft... I hope I don't sound like an idiot saying this into a microphone, but did the Rockies draft Russell Wilson as well?
Yes, they did.
So they drafted Mike Vick and Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
You know, the Broncos need to hire some of those Rocky scouts and have them look at the draft. Because they can pick a quarterback. One. The Rockies picked two franchise quarterbacks.
How about that?
I like to be good, but I also like to be lucky.
I mean, Rockies, who do y'all like this year? Who do y'all like? Find us a quarterback.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Breidich.
Find us a quarterback.
Oh, my goodness. That is great. That is great. Let me bring up another one to you. And this is along the same path, a little bit, kind of, sort of, indirectly. Tim Tebow. Do you realize that Tim Tebow, through 78 AA games, is hitting .276, 6 home runs, 35 RBI, his on-base percentage is over .340, he's currently riding an 8-game hitting streak. I don't know what I expected from Tebow, but at the AA level, this is more than I expected.
Yeah.
He played in the All-Star game, hit a double.
His swing looks pretty good. I mean, you watch him, you wouldn't say this is a guy that doesn't deserve to be there. And so he's actually holding his own and doing pretty well with it.
Not bad.
Kudos to him for continuing to work. And, you know, when he put this out there, I don't know if it was 2 years ago now or when it was a year ago, when he started down this journey, and it was like, what are you doing? But he has worked himself into being a competent baseball player. He's not like he's out there striking out every other at bat. He's
right.
Actually out there producing and looking like he knows what he's doing. It looked like he's been playing baseball his whole life. So kudos to him. I mean, you knew he would grind at it, but the guy's a winner. You can say whatever you want about him, but he's a flat-out winner. He's a hard worker. And so I want to say it doesn't shock me, but it does.
I know.
Because you get away from baseball. You haven't played baseball since, I think, high school.
Well, that's the thing.
And next thing, you're playing AA baseball, and you're putting up some good numbers.
Stoke, you were just talking about Mike Vick stepping away from the game for two full seasons and how hard it is to come back and then be comeback player of the year. Tim Tebow stepped away from the game for a decade.
Well, he's in the minors.
But it's AA ball. This is really good ball.
No, but Mike Vick was playing in the majors. You know, playing the real deal.
Right,
so.
Right. But yes, and I wasn't saying they're equal, right. But it's 2 years away to 10 years away for you to be in your second year in?
It's impressive, man. It is. Flat out impressive to be able to do what Tim Tebow's been doing, like you said, after being away from the game for as long as he was, and then to just say, you know what, I want to try baseball. And people thought it was gimmicky. People thought he was just, you know, he's looking for endorsements. He's trying to pub something. This is a skit. It's a reality show. Remember that?
Yeah,
I mean, a lot
that's
of
right.
talk about all those different things.
I forgot about
but
that.
But he has really stuck with it, right? Because he was doing this reality show thing or something. He has stuck with it. He has worked his tail off. And he's proven that it wasn't a gimmick and it wasn't a publicity stunt. He really wanted to do it. And he's worked himself into being a good ball player. Good for him.
Now let's spin it forward. The New York Mets are 39-55. It is very realistic, that somewhere in whether it's late August, whether it's early September, it is realistic that the New York Mets call up Tim Tebow when he plays in a Major League Baseball game, when the season is lost, and you're looking to sell some jerseys, you're looking to put some butts in some seats. Yep,
it's all about entertainment at that point, right?
If Tim Tebow plays a game for the New York Mets, I got to tell you, he will be among the all-time great athletes that I've ever seen. Because this is a guy who won two national titles, a Heisman Trophy. You could actually argue that Tim Tebow is among the five greatest college football players ever. He won two national titles, a Heisman. I think he was runner-up, or he was at the ceremony for the second Heisman that he didn't win. He goes in the NFL, first-round draft pick, plays for the Broncos, wins a playoff game. The league kicks him out, essentially, forces him out from playing quarterback. He goes and picks up baseball, and if he plays a game for the New York Mets?
You know what?
Release the Tebow!
What was that? I don't know. I don't know if I've ever heard that one. Release the Tebow? Now I'm all flustered after that.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
That's the one I like right there. No, it's unbelievable. But you know what? If I'm the New York Mets, I would do it. I would do it for the last couple weeks of the season. The guy's actually earned it to a certain degree when you say, okay, we're looking to sell tickets. We're looking for entertainment value here. Why not call up Tim Tebow? Well, because you know what? The guy doesn't stand a chance. He hasn't earned it. But you look at his numbers, and he's actually proven that he's a competent baseball player and he can hold his own. So you know what? If you'd have told me that a year ago, I'd have said, no, you can't do that. That is disrespecting the game of baseball. But now you can get away with doing that if you're the New York Mets because he's shown promise. And why not if you're the New York Mets?
Why not?
Your season is gone. Tim Tebow's worked his tail off. And you want to generate some buzz? Sell some tickets?
Oh,
sell some jerseys?
Whew.
Sign Tim Tebow for the last couple weeks of the season.
Wouldn't that be something?
I could see that happening. I think it will happen, actually.
You think it will? I think it will, too. Because there's too much money to be made. There's
all
too
about,
much
yep.
money to be made. Follow the money.
And he's not batting 100 right now. That's the thing. He's actually proven that, you know what, we can actually roll him out there in a game, and he's probably, his first at bat, I guarantee he's going to get a hit.
Yeah, right.
It probably will be a home run. I mean, it's going to be something really, really good. And he'll probably be facing like Chris Sale or something. I don't know. I mean, you know, he'll be facing an ace, and he'll take him deep.
Right.
That's just the story of Tim Tebow.
He's something, man.
But he always finds a way to get the job done. And so he's actually proven that, you know what, he's capable of playing good baseball.
Yeah.
And he's not just a publicity stunt.
If you told me before the season that Tim Tebow would have a better batting average in Double-A than Ian Desmond had for the Rockies, I'd tell you to get lost.
I'm with you.
Unbelievable. And just to put a cherry on everything you just said, if they did call him up, I'd be watching.
Yep.
I wouldn't miss it. SportsCenter would be doing cut-ins of his at-bats.
You're exactly right. It would draw a lot of attention.
Whew, man. Do the Broncos need to hide Case Keenum's weakness? I believe one of our hosts here and a buddy of ours at The Fan think so. I'll tell you who said what. But first, what's up with that Denver snapshot?